Seattle Knights, day two. Well, same day, but later in the day. You guys are headed to the medical examiner for their report of the body you found. So everybody is there, I'm assuming, since everybody's on the case.
I feel like the first scene is of Reporter O'Neill standing outside of the Knight Errant precinct where they're going to go in to have this conversation. And he's just doing a fluff piece of, like, here we are later in the day of our investigation into the mysterious body that was found in, you know, location. Just doing a little bit of a fluff piece recording before getting down to business, as it were.
Okay. So do you want to do that, or do you consider it?
No, I think that's what I just did.
Okay. All right. And the others just happen upon you, or you just go in. How would you guys?
I think he just does a quick. I think he just does a quick recording by himself before going in, just as like, this is going to be my bumper to be edited in at the front of whatever.
Okay. Malone, when's this damn reporter supposed to be here? It's like 8:59. Does he not have a watch? Was he like late?
A reporter is never late. They always show up when you least want them to.
God, he doesn't get here soon. I mean, like, I woke up early for this. That's not my jam. So,
would you know? I know that he's outside recording?
Yeah, probably. You have those marks on him still. You know where he is.
He's here. He's outside recording the fluff.
Like, lean over. Ah, okay.
His fluff goes on a little too long as he's trying out different bylines for what the piece could be called. Stuff like, you know, savagery and knight errant, how the two seek to coincide.
Yeah, is it okay? Because he's kind of wasting our time at this point.
It's not. Officer Steele, if you could gently ask him to come inside using your Matrix Wiles, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, you can send him a quick little message.
Or you could do something more creative rather than just a text message.
Oh.
Start changing the titles of his fluff piece to something like Idiot Reporter Stands Outside When Everybody's Waiting for Him Inside.
Perfect.
There you go. Mr. O'Neill, when you enter the Knight Errant, you're told that the Emmy is in the basement levels. You'll be directed to get on an elevator. You'll go down probably about three levels down. When the door opens, it's bad fluorescent lighting humming. You'll see just racks lining the hallway that are full of what look to be bodies wrapped up, tags and everything on them. And you'll see the two detectives and Officer Steele standing there impatiently waiting. And Detective Lennox is not happy. He hates the ME's office because the hallways are just a couple, you know, inches higher than his head.
I have an important question.
Mm-hmm.
Did I get like a visitor's badge or anything like that?
Yes.
Okay. Because every time he passes somebody that gives him like a side, he's like, oh, then he taps the badge like visitor, reporter. You know, being incredibly obnoxious because he's excited to be able to see behind. And it probably one of his little fluff pieces as he's in the elevator is like, okay, we're about to go behind the scenes at Knight Errant to see how everything is made, how the soy burgers are processed or the soysages.
That is the worst comparison that you could possibly make.
Oh, do you have a better thing, a better food analogy?
Let's not go with a food analogy. And Malone will take a sip from his coffee cup. And it's one of those really like expensive paper cups that they don't really make anymore because everything else is, you know, styrofoam, easily produced, can't throw it away type of thing. And the logo on the thing says the Kafefi bean.
Nice.
Let's not do food. Instead, say something like, we're here at the medical examiner's office where we are about to find out the results of their autopsy for the unfortunate victim of last night's attack.
Medical officer reveals all.
We'll fix it in post. How's that?
The Emmy door opens up. She's like, are you guys ready? We had a busy night, so I'd like to get this one off my table. So, you know, the burrito room is full, so I gotta get it emptied out. So let's hurry up and do this.
Lead on. We are at your disposal.
So you guys walk in. You'll see the body that you saw last night, stripped of its clothing, laying on the table. You'll see the wound there. It looks like they've cleaned it up a bit. You'll see that it is very jagged. Nothing else seems to be wrong with the body. The cyber leg has been removed by the ME now. And she is flipping through a clipboard with the electronic monitor on it. And she's flipping through it. And then she'll say, okay, so you're John Doe. Yes, died of blood loss, like the coroner thought. Hold on one second. I got to confirm something. She walks up to the body. She puts a glove on and she puts her hand in the hole.
I vomit.
Oh, God, hey, pull yourself together. God.
It's like,
step away.
Her hand's in the... I rush over to a trash can.
Is there video of this, and can I save it to my own? Like?
I'm sure you have some cyber recording something somewhere. So, yeah, you can get a video of this. Why not?
Chan certainly does. He's watching.
You'll see the Emmy is just very disappointed. And she'll you know, like almost like yelling, Alexa, it'll be drone 498. Clean mess, Emmy room 2, and then all of a sudden a little drone comes in and cleans up the vomit that's on the floor, because they have to keep it clean, because you've just contaminated things. But she's still rooting around inside the hole while all of this is going on, and she pulls her hand out, and she goes, huh, all right, well, your body also has no organs.
I mean, like, none of them, right?
Like, no stomach. No lungs, no heart.
Do they show signs of being removed surgically? Or are they just sort of, like, his hands, they're, like, ripped out?
All right, hold on. And she'll grab a scope, and she'll kind of put it in, kind of look at the picture on the screen. She goes, No, these weren't ripped out. And she'll kind of turn it around so you guys can look. And, no, you can see it's pretty smooth cuts. It looks like, professional, you know, medical person did it.
Do you know if the body was there or if it was moved?
Well, the body was there. We
if the person was, apologize for not being more clear. If it were, if this individual were murdered at that location, or do you think they were murdered off site and moved there? Any, I don't know, blood spatter, any of that good old science stuff you scientists have?
Not enough blood around in the scene. No, for what was done, there's not enough blood on the scene from what the coroner told me and video I have. There's not enough. There would be a lot of blood if somebody was just, you know, cutting up. Also, there's this, and she'll point out the little jaggeds. These are all cut with a fine blade. It's just kind of made to look, you know, look jaggedy.
That's
a cover-up. A cover-up.
Yeah, somebody wanted to look like something else, definitely, but as to why, that's not my job to figure out.
Maybe he's trying to look like Freddy Krueger, or maybe a tiger.
Hold on. You guys got rolled out yesterday for this, and it's just the sinless... I think I know why, and she'll turn around to a terminal, and she'll tap. She'll bring it up. Yep. This is the fifth one.
The fifth.
Do you mean like as of Henry V? Or like what we're talking about? No, as in
four other bodies have been found starting in February. So it's now April 7th. Starting in February, the first body was found. Nobody thought anything of it. You know, this is now number five. So I guess somebody's now thinking something of it.
Can you ping me the locations where those bodies were brought in from?
Yeah. Here, I'll flag the files, send them over to you guys.
Five bodies moved. Interesting. We got ourselves a genuine creeper.
We'll have to see what the other unfortunate victims had on them when they were brought in. So the locations, are they all set downtown?
No, I'm getting you that right now.
Is that there the sound computers make? Is that the... Boop, 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 boop.
It does list... they didn't like have much on them. Like the most notable things were a few of them did have the same church pamphlet. Some of them had no cyber. Some of them had partial cyber removed. Some were in... Most were in downtown. One was over in Redmond. The first one was Redmond. Then after that, they were all downtown. The fourth body did have an actual name, like nickname that people knew him by. And the third body, a witness says a car pulled up and pushed the body out. But as far as a description, they just said it was a big and black car.
Well, let's see here. First body found February 26th at 1 a.m. Dwarf male, sinless. Second body, March 7th, 4 a.m., elf female, sinless. Third body, March 24th, 2 a.m., human, sinless. Fourth body, 1 week later, April 1st, elf male, sinless. And now today.
Can I ask where you're seeing this, by the way? Because I am.
In the B side in Discord?
Ah.
Being the lead investigator on the case, I do have special access to special resources that you may not.
Uh-huh.
Witness says a big black car. 1, 2, 3 church pamphlets.
Weird they would have the pamphlet on them. You know, they would go there. I mean, I almost wonder if it's a message, right? A little calling card.
Well, we do still have to go to the church, so we can ask those questions.
Yep, sounds like a good idea. Just one body, this one, out in Redmond. Any information on I don't know, the address, businesses that were nearby? Anything on that? That one stands out to me. You know, why there?
Surprised anybody brought him in. It's Redmond. Who cares?
That's pretty much why there's really no information other than a body was found at this location.
Yes.
And they brought it in. It's Redmond. Yeah. Who cares? A sinless. Who cares?
And if it was Redmond, why not keep dumping them there? If that's what these people's MO is. Why dump them right downtown? Well, let's go check out the old church here. I find it creepy, right? Flesh? Creepy word? Not just me?
Not just you.
All right.
As they're wrapping up, reporter... O'Neill is standing with his back to the door that has the medical examiner's office on that like foggy glass, but it's in reverse because he's standing with his back to it. Mm-hmm. And he's got a camera pointed at him and says, I can assure you so far that my experience has been nothing but mind-blowing and enlightening. And I can assure you that Knight Errant will go all of the way to find out any clues that they leave no stone unturned, as he looks just a little green.
Speaking of which, Officer Steele.
Yeah?
You mind looking this place up? This, Church of the One Flesh and whatnot?
Or the Rebirth of the One Flesh.
Ah, yeah. Thank you, Officer Malone.
Detective.
That's right, detective.
You are not a morning person. We need.
I am not a morning person. I just, you know, I have to say, your rising through the ranks is just so fast and unprecedented. I was a little bit behind on the uptick there.
I'll allow it.
You know, it's funny you should say that, Detective Lennox. Did you know that his father is a senator? Oh, I'm sorry. Is that not public information amongst your coworkers?
It's not necessary.
I'm sorry. I'll leave the fact that your father is a senator out of my reports.
We're not a big fan of politics. What can I say?
I mean, in addition to renegotiating Knight Errant contract, this could also be a good fluff piece for when your father runs for re-election.
Wow.
I would prefer if you left Daddy. I mean, Senator Malone out of this.
Gotcha. Leaving Daddy out of this marks an AR.
Double wow.
Also, we probably should pull all the cameras that we can in these areas. Dale, if you wouldn't mind, while we head up to the... You want to ride with us to the church? Back us up there, and then on the way, maybe see if you can figure out some information about it and or the various camera pulls from where all these bodies were found.
Yeah, didn't that bodega have cameras?
They usually do.
You guys should have totally had me do that last night. It would have been way easier.
Yeah, but we're having you do it now.
Yep. You ever sit for a badge and get one of these? He'll tap his chest, a detective badge. You know, it's always there for you. Otherwise, start to that Googling. Clicky clacky.
All right, so she gets to clicky clacky in.
So roll 8 dice first. We'll see how many successes you get, and then we're going to add that to a dice pool of 11. Looking at the cheat sheet that Grafa made for us. And that's one success on that. So now 1 to 11. So now you get to roll 12. 5 successes. All right. So about the rebirth of the One Flesh? That's what they want you to look up?
Correct.
As you know already, but you've now confirmed, it is located at the corner of 6th and University, downtown Seattle. They have a large barracks room, so they can have beds for people. They have locker rooms, showers, things like that. They do a lot of mission work. You'll see that they do a lot of fundraisers, having them to raise money for the church, as well as attending fundraisers for other people and organizations. It is run by, where is his name? It is run by LaRoche Dupree. I will put that in the thing for you guys. He is basically like the minister, the head guy in the cloak.
Grand Poobah.
The Grand Poobah. You'll also see in a lot of articles, Officer Steele, that you're digging up, he is often accompanied by the church's attorney, Kella Covington.
Is there any videos of like his services, the congregation, or anything like that? Can I watch one real quick?
You can watch one. As you watch it, you'll see he's very charismatic. Like, even as you watch it, you're just a little bit enthralled. Like, wow, he's really, you know, like he just has a presence about him. Like, when he talks, you feel comforted. When it pans to the audience, the congregation, you'll see a lot of people that are just like riddled with scars. Like they have missing ears. They have like just missing eyes, just scarred socket, empty holes, missing limbs. But they're all just there and they're just staring up at him with just, it looks like joy on their face. They look to be happy. They look, a lot of them look like they've been well fed. They look clean.
Definitely not like a raucous crowd too, still.
No, not a raucous. Like you'll see a lot of heads nodding. You'll see a lot of amens, hear amens, but you're not going to see people getting up and like dancing in the aisles. No, it's very Presbyterian. nobody is being moved by the spirit, but they are all hanging on every word he says. And again, much like what's said in the pamphlet, he is talking about when you mutilate your body by putting machine into it and hooking it up to the matrix, you are distancing yourself from God. It is not God's plan. You need to remove these items so that you can become closer. It is only by accepting your own flesh that you will find God's love for you.
And like the only news and stuff that we found was philanthropic type related stuff.
Yes, you can't find any scandals about them at all. You can access tax records. You can find that with 5 successes. Yeah, why not? And it's also public info. They bring in millions a year. Just donations from corporations, from people, just millions a year. And Mr. Dupree always looks nice. He looks nice. He dresses in a nice suit. He looks nice and, you know, well-groomed. Doesn't wear flashy jewelry. No, he's human. His attorney's an elf. That makes a difference. I'm sorry. The church's attorney's an elf.
Okay, so I relay all this information to my lovely coworkers.
Do you send the video?
Yeah. Okay. Just like super weird church.
All right. Does everybody watch the video, or are you just like, you know, 1 second you're like, ugh, I'm not listening to this.
1 second and then yeah.
Okay.
Chans will go until it pans over to the flock, and the second that he sees it, be like, ugh, no.
Make a perception roll, then, Chans.
Am I included in this sending it to your coworkers thing?
I assumed you're on the ride along. You were told to be treated as
yes, begrudgingly.
Wonderful.
Chandler, the suit. You'll notice, I'm sorry, O'Neill. Chandler, the suit that Dupree is wearing, that's custom. That's not off the rack. It's probably 5,000 New Yen or more. You would know this.
Oh, yeah. I might not know his tailor, I know it's tailored.
Yes, yes, yes. All right, I'm sorry, Mr. O'Neill, what were you saying?
So I'm not, like, watching it. But I am looking at things like the cinematography and how it's shot in that regard. I don't know if there's anything for me to learn there.
Roll perception on that.
There it is. Had to find it on the thing.
3 successes. Just looking at how it is shot and edited and the sound quality and everything, it's as good as any Horizon show. Maybe better?
Clearly you're mistaken. It cannot be as good as Horizon shows.
It's as good as Horizon. This church is pulling off quality videoing. This isn't just somebody holding a drone or a drone flying around. This is a director is made this. This isn't just somebody in the flock.
All right, he's gonna stew on that for a second.
Okay. Lennox? Did you watch it all, or did you go, ugh?
He'll watch it, yeah.
Okay. Do you have anything that you're looking for specifically?
So it's just sort of like an aerial shot, like from the, or just from like the perspective of a person attending the service?
No. It's different shots. It's like close up where Dupree's at the pulpit, and then it kind of pulls back. And
I get you.
See the congregation and then Dupree, and then you'll see the congregation alone, and you'll
multi camera.
Yes,
very nice, very nice.
Right, better than Horizon.
These guys have good production values. Surprised they don't have an acoustic guitar and some guy in a vest. Anyway, let's see, so it just looks like a normal, boring church service. No weird hats. No weird stoles. No weird robes.
No candles. Sacrifices, chanting. Nothing. No.
Huh.
Just everyday Sunday service.
I guess I don't know what I was expecting, but all right. kind of let me down, you know? Church of the One Flesh, or the Renewed Flesh, or the Who's Its Flesh, and then they had a bunch of people boringly going around.
The One Flesh?
What was that, God?
The Rebirth of the One Flesh? I can't wait to correct you constantly when you do.
He's purposely not giving a shit.
I know, and I'm purposely correcting you on every one of them.
Church of the Rebirthed Flesh, and it's not living up to it. What do you think our tax should be, Malone? Straight to it, or you want to do a little roundabout?
Well, I suspect we're not going to be able to talk to the good reverend without legal counsel present, so I suppose we'll have to have our people call his people. Or I suppose we could just walk in, take a look around, and see who comes running.
Yeah, maybe find some stupid lackey who'll start talking a lot.
Well, those are the best.
And to show O'Neill in the background doing something.
Yeah. You know, somebody with like an inner insecurity where they just can't stop talking and they just share way too much information. You know.
Yes, that exactly. Information. I am going to reach out to my J. Jonah Jameson guy.
Okay. For what?
So Horizon does a lot in the area of video production and all of that good stuff. So I'm going to see if he knows anybody who may have done this as like freelance work. Because the idea of this little organization putting out such a high quality piece of media, it's just something about that doesn't seem right.
Okay. Are you just sending a message and asking him about it?
Yeah.
Just sending the video as well and going, what can you tell me?
Basically exactly that this seems way too high of production values for the source.
Okay. All right. I mean, he's not going to immediately call you back.
No, that's fine. That's what he does.
All right. We'll do that. You don't let the others know you're doing that. You're doing that on the sly, on the down low.
I mean, that has nothing to do with the investigation. That's all Horizon business.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so you guys pull up to the church in the daylight. It doesn't have the beautiful neon lighting it up, but it is still an impressive white stone building. I have a picture.
Pictures are great.
Pictures are great.
Just think, Patreon listeners, you too could have this picture, except you can't because it's an internet medium that is...
Yeah, I was going to say, how are they getting this picture again?
We'll have a link to it in the description. Yeah.
We'll have a link to it.
Is this the correct link? And who is Rick Astley?
That is the, in the B-side channel, is the church logo. And that is not the correct place to link. Boop, 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 boop.
You know, it's a shame that I know that Joop isn't a gamer because I have so many things.
What? Joop isn't a gamer?
Yeah, so you wouldn't understand the thing that I'm thinking of referencing.
What do you want to reference?
I'm just thinking of Dead Space.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
How hard it is to find the logo that looks really good, but also just has a little edge of creepy.
That works.
Like it looks, oh, that looks innocent enough. Wait a minute. That's a little creepy. but yeah, that's the building. You can kind of see the big sanctuary. It's like a big oval and the rest of the building is like coming perpendicular to it. And you guys are just walking on in, and that's great, because the doors are wide open.
Well, first I would probably check the parking lot for any big black cars or other vehicles, and note some license plates if there were.
There's a parking area. There's not many cars. None of them are big and black. There's like a black sedan.
Yeah, we'll get that one.
Okay. And then... I mean, there's a big, like, SUV-type vehicle, but it's, like, gray, not black.
Close enough for government work.
Yep. Noting them down. Getting these okay. deets. car and van.
Okay.
While he's over there doing that, I'll just kick up my drone again and be like, here we are attempting to track down some leads about a pamphlet that was found. Truly, Knight Errant's going to go through everything they can to find the culprits here.
Reporter O'Neill, Chris. Can I call you Chris? Chris, look.
Of course, detective.
Thank you. So I want to make absolutely sure this is going to be an interview on an active investigation. So I want to make sure that you're here to be seen and not heard, or even better, not seen and not heard. I want you to be a silent partner to us for this portion of the investigation.
Of course, I can now, be silent. You won't even know I'm here.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. But if anybody does talk to you directly, feel free to answer basic questions. Don't get too far into it. Don't let them, just let them know that you're here with us.
And don't record everything.
Yes. And if anybody says anything interesting to you, well, we'll put our heads together afterwards. We'll all discuss it, and we'll see what we come up with. All right?
Of course. Utmost cooperation.
Great. I'll buy you a coffee later.
Cool. He lists off some ridiculous double mocha cappuccino that he enjoys.
Chance is not even paying attention. That's not coffee.
As you walk away, you hear him say, and look at this fine example of cooperation and teamwork, the true spirit of Knight Errant.
If Chance smoked, he would be lighting up like right now. It's like, oh, I can't take this.
Does lay it on thick. That's why he's a reporter.
Gotta get the stories.
Mm-hmm. So like I said, the doors to the building are open. People are coming and going out of it. You'll see people who you can tell that it looks like it's their first time here because they are cybered out. They look unsure, but they're still going in. Other people you'll see that seem like they've been here a little while. They are not cybered. They're using crutches for assistance or canes or whatever. For whatever malady they are left with after having their cyberware removed. But everybody that passes by you smiles and says blessings to you.
As they hit the threshold, Balone will stop, tilt his head, and then turn to Chris again and kind of beckon him over, lower his voice, kind of put their heads together. You know, I think it would be a great slice of life piece that is attached to this investigation. Talk with the parishioners here. See what brings them here. See why they stay. Ask why the new people come in with all their cyberware. Ask why the people with their cyberware removed, why did they do it? Where did that cyberware go? Why are they so happy here? I think that's going to give a lot of life into the outer parts of this investigation, if you catch my drift.
You know, detective, you make a lot of sense. Have you ever thought about a career in show business?
I have not.
I'm sure your father would appreciate it.
I'm sure he would.
You could even be part of his campaigning and his managing of his multimedia accounts.
I think maybe after this investigation is over, you and I'll sit down, have a long talk about your potential future in a public campaign such as his.
You'll put in a good word for me. That's so nice of you to say. And we've only just met each other. This is a wonderful. This is the best assignment. It couldn't be going better.
I'm certain things will be on the up and up from here on out.
Now, if you guys just want to wait over here for me to finish up with some of these parishioners, I'll go ahead and I'll have that interview while you guys wait to go inside.
Absolutely. You get right to work. We'll be waiting for you. And the second that Chris turns his back, they're going inside.
Everybody's gone. Steele, are you still in the car because they told you to check those cameras and on the locations? Or are you inside with them?
No, I'm in the car. I'd prefer to be in here.
I bet. All right, so we'll get to you in a little while. Maybe next time. So let's start with Mr. O'Neill. Which one do you go for first? The cybered out person who's tentative or the person who looks like they've been here a while?
If I could catch the like one of each passing each other that are amicable to doing an interview. Mm-hmm. So it's like, get the person who's coming out to relay some of those experiences to the person who may be questioning going in to see if they can, if the member can change the mind to bring this new person on.
Okay.
So I can capture that recruitment and brainwashing just as it starts.
Okay. All right. So you'll capture one of the people that look to be walking in. She does not have cyber on. Or she doesn't have any cyberware at all. She's got a cane and she's coming up the steps. And right behind her, there is another individual who does have cyber. It looks like he might be following her. He's kind of sticking close, but it doesn't look like they are with each other.
Sure. And I'll just try and get them to converse.
The woman smiles at you. She only has one eye. She's using the cane because...
missing a leg.
Missing the leg. But she'll stop and she'll say blessings to you. Do you need help, dear?
This is my first time here, and I noticed that you were coming out and you have... Have you ever been on the Tridio?
I've never been on the Tridio. I've watched some shows on the Tridio, but the other individual who looks to be new says, oh, it's my first time here too. Yeah, I've never been on the Trids, but I want to be. And he's kind of like looking to see, you know, you got a camera, what's going on? You've got your drone.
As he gets so excited, the drone just flies up out of his little, that was the thing called? The Caterpillar Horseman that was grid guiding to follow the cruiser.
Mm-hmm.
After all, he had a, if you can call how you are transported in one of those things drive to the precinct. Would the two of you like to be? I would love to capture this first interaction, this moment of change in your life, talking to the person who is still augmented, to see if this is truly the right fit for you. It would be a great piece to show to people who are on the fence.
Oh, yes, yes. Mr. Dupree encourages us to talk to anybody who's interested. So, yes, yes. And she's looking now at you and the newcomer. What questions do you have? And she puts her hand on the young man who's all cybered up. What would you like to know? And he'll kind of look at you like, oh. It's your interview. What do we want to know?
Well, it's not my interview. It's your life.
Well, I'm just here because I was told, you know, I can get some food and a job. And, you know, I just have to, you know, just sacrifice some things to get it. But, I mean, you know, worth it, right?
We all have to sacrifice to get ahead in our life.
She'll laugh. Oh, goodness, it's not a sacrifice. It's just the way you're supposed to be. But you will find a full belly, plenty of food, 3 meals a day, and they'll help you get a job. And if you can't get a job, well, they'll help you get an education so you can get a job. I myself am too old to get an education. I don't have to work anymore, but I come here and volunteer at the church since they've helped me so much.
Alarm bells going off in Bamps' head about what is very clearly a giant cult.
Is this really? A cult? We're a religious organization that church. Believes in. It's a cult.
Yeah. It's a cult.
It's like, oh, she's volunteering. A clearly a cult.
She volunteers. Clearly a cult. Okay.
I don't think I have anything specific I want to get out of them that's not... that's like super pressing, but just get a bunch of like general questions, information, and answers that we can refer to later on. Because shortly after this section of interviews ends, he will notice that the two detectives are gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you'll get their names, you'll get their ages. She'll tell you how long she's been coming to the church. She'll tell you everything they've done for her. She will also mention that they had a professional doctor remove her cyberware, and she didn't have to pay for it at all.
Get all of those names, numbers, mm-hmm. information. Get all of the deets.
The young man, though, is very excited. He is now just really sold on the idea of going in and having some food and getting a job, or at least an education and then a job or something. And he's okay getting rid of the cyberware. It hasn't done him any good so far.
Okay. Yeah, no. Okay. Finishing that up, I will be very proud of myself and the work that I have done. I will turn around, see them gone, but see Officer Steele still in the cruiser, I guess?
Mm-hmm. Still in the vehicle.
And I will hustle on over there and knock on the window.
Let's go to Lennox and Malone. Detectives, you enter the building. You walk around. You head toward the sanctuary. There's a sign for the barracks. There's a sign for the cafeteria. There's offices. There's the sanctuary.
Let's head towards the sanctuary. I don't know how Lorenzo's feeling, if he wants to go to where the food is or not. He's a big guy, so I've got my coffee. I'm fine. I'll head to the sanctuary. I figure I'll get some answers there.
I'll follow you in there. It's not quite early enough for, what is it, brunch? Yeah, I'm not there yet.
Second breakfast?
That's right.
So as you open the doors to the sanctuary, you'll see a man standing behind the podium at the far opposite end of the doors. It looks like the same man in the video, Mr. LaRoche Dupree. And it looks like he is practicing. You see him gesturing, and he'll say a few lines, and then he'll stop, and he'll looks like he tap something, and then he goes up, does it again, does the gesture again, and just changes the words a little bit. It looks like he's working on his next sermon. But on one of those, he notices you, and he'll say, come in. And he'll start walking down from the stage to greet you, his hand extended out to shake yours. Hello, I'm LaRoche Dupree. The head of the church here, the rebirth of the one flesh. How can I help you?
Yes, Mr. Dupree, it's a pleasure to meet you. I am Detective Malone. This is Detective Lennox. We are with Knight Errant, and we were hoping we could ask you a few questions.
Well, yes, anything. Here, sit down, and he'll have you sit in one of the seats, and he'll take a seat in the row in front of you. Now,
I'm hoping that you may know some things about some people here. And so he's going to grab head stills from the victims that had mm-hmm. the pamphlet in their person when they were discovered.
Okay.
Would you happen to know, have seen these individuals?
He's going to look at them and he'll say, this one here, Gigi, oh my goodness, is something happened to her? I haven't seen her.
When was the last time you saw her?
Oh goodness, it was, let me think, March, she was at our service on March 6th? Yeah, on the 6th she came to service that day, and I haven't seen her since. I thought maybe she got busy and that, you know, she got a new job, and I just thought maybe it just kept her away from us for a while.
New job?
Well, yes, we helped her get a job as a night receptionist for one of the hotels near the airport.
I see. And at this point, Chance has his notebook out. He's making some notes. Do you know which hotel near the airport that might have been?
Oh, goodness. I'll have to have we have a girl that sets that up. I don't remember offhand, but I can get that information to you. Just give me your information. I'll be sure to send anything over.
Oh, of course, of course. Thank you for your cooperation. What time is your service on March 6th? Or what time is your what time is the service?
Oh, we have a service at 9 a.m., 11 a.m., 3 p.m., and 5 p.m. She came to the 11 a.m.
11 a.m. service, and he'll write that down, of course. And what about this gentleman here? And he will show the picture of the 18-year-old human.
Oh, he doesn't. He doesn't look familiar to me. But you said he had our pamphlet on him.
Indeed, yeah, he had his. Of course, you've said that you know Gigi. She did have a pamphlet with her. This gentleman also had a pamphlet, and this gentleman also had a pamphlet, and he will show the picture of the fifth body, the most recent.
No, he doesn't look familiar either. But, you know, we hand out pamphlets, our volunteers kind of hand them out to people that they see a need. You know what? Why don't we walk over? Let's walk over to the cafeteria. He's going to look at his watch. Yep, they're getting lunch ready. Why don't we see if anybody there recognizes them? I want to make sure we exhaust all possibilities. Why don't you just follow me? And he'll stand up and start walking out of the sanctuary, assuming you'll follow him.
Sure. And Chance will get up and says, "Oh, but I do have one question. But before we go, your organization, the rebirth of the One Flesh, your parishioners, they give up their earthly augmentations, we'll say, in order to become closer to God. Is that correct?"
"Yes."
And when that happens, do you have medical staff on hand to assist with that? Or do that? I'm assuming they just don't, you know, pluck a cyber eye out and throw it at you when you're on the stage there giving your sermon.
Well, we have people with medical knowledge, licenses, that do the removals pro bono.
Okay. And is that done here or do they have their own?
No. It's in their facilities. No, goodness. No, we don't have the facilities for surgeries like that. Some of them are very complex. They would need to be in the right space to have that work done.
I mean, we
do have a medical treatment center, but it's for small things, you know, colds, flus, things like that. Nothing major like surgery.
I see. And you say when they do it pro bono, are they pro bono to the person who's having that removed or as a whole? I do recognize your building here is very well appointed. And sir, you must give me the name of your tailor because your suit is fantastic. But the lights do need to be kept on, as I'm assuming that this is funded by the church.
Yes. They volunteer their time and their skill. They don't charge us, and they certainly would never charge the individual. And if they insisted, well, the church would take care of that.
I see.
Nobody's okay. ever insisted. They're all very generous with their time. They believe in our cause.
Isn't that kind of a contradiction? You've got doctors and who've taken significant portions of their life to learn how to install and remove cyberware. Kind of selling it to people who think the entire idea is morally suspect.
Morally suspect. Well, doctors become doctors in order to help people. And if by helping someone, it means to validate their decision, their free will to have their cyberware removed, then a doctor would be more than happy to help that. There's plenty of people putting the cyberware in. It's not like we're really cutting into their business, is it?
I'm just saying they had to learn how to do the skill, and you're saying that they do it for free. So are they members of your organization? Is that a part of it, or are they just independent and offering their time?
We have one or two doctors, but a lot of our doctors that volunteer their services aren't members, and we don't require them to be. They don't have to have the same beliefs as us.
Gotcha. Well, I have to say we're pretty concerned considering the connections between these victims and people who have visited your church. Frankly, we're quite worried that someone might be targeting your parishioners.
You'll see him, his eyes kind of glaze over a bit, just real quick, and then he'll kind of comes back, refocuses on you. That is concerning. I wouldn't want anybody to harm any member of our congregation. But maybe this is something for you to speak with. Ms. Covington, here she is now, our attorney.
Yes, we'd love to speak to Ms. Covington. Also, if you could provide us with the names and addresses of the surgeons who were volunteering and assisting you with your organization, I would love to also ask them some questions about these poor, unfortunate parishioners that, or potential parishioners, I should say, that we found.
Ms. Covington will kind of step in between you and Mr. Dupree. I'm not going to give you a list of surgeons who spend their time, their free time, helping these people in a charitable act so you can go and harass them. If you want that, get a warrant, and then I'll provide that information. Until then, it's going to be confidential.
Oh, man, we're just trying to protect your parishioners. We're not trying to harass them. I mean, the person who's left three of them dead on the side.
If you harass the doctors, then they may pull their volunteering work from us, which would really be a detriment to many people. So, again, get your warrant. And she'll smile. And Mr. Dupree will kind of look a little awkward. Well, anyway, let's head to the cafeteria and ask if anybody recognizes those other.
Yes, that would be wonderful. Thank you. And Miss Covington, was it? Perhaps you might have seen this person, and we'll show Gigi's picture again. Gigi's.
And she'll look and say, yes, Gigi was a real positive story. And I haven't interacted with her much. We had her sign some papers so we could use her in some future publicity for the church, but I didn't really have any direct dealings with her.
I see. And from what dealings that you have, you clearly know some things about Gigi. What was her success story?
Well, that we got her off the street. I mean, my God, she was selling her body. We got her off the street. We got her healthy. We got her room, food, educated her, and then we got her a job. She was living on her own. She was doing well.
Yes, she was. That's very interesting. Very interesting. Well, I do appreciate the information you've given here. Now I gotta go find that button too.
One success on judge intention. This lady's a bitch.
Well, with my striking powers, I determined you're a shithead.
There you go. 4.
That's better.
She's definitely earning her money. She is going to protect. It doesn't even matter what innocuous things you ask of them. She will fight it every bit of the way because she is protecting them. She is their guard dog.
She
gets to be good cop. She gets to be bad cop.
Does she have visible augmentations?
No.
So Chandler's going to descend into that mindless kind of like verbal chaff that rich people do. And at the same time, he's constructing a message to send to Officer Steele, saying, in essence, do a quick matrix scan on my position, and let me know how many cyberware tags come up that is not myself or Detective Lennox.
Officer Steele?
Oh, my bad. I was like, way in La La Land, what?
That's okay. He wants you to do a check. Do a matrix perception. You can roll your agent first for 8. Whatever successes you get, you can then add it to 11. So you can add the 2 to the 11. You don't pick up anything else beside them.
Nope, that's all I got. Just the two of them.
Understood. Thank you.
He's going to lead you out of the sanctuary. He's going to take you through the place. As he moves through, people will stop and want to shake his hand. And he's very patient, and he takes time with each and every one. He asks about them, how they're doing, how they're liking it here. Are they like the accommodations? Is the food okay? Is there anything else they need? He does that with each person that stops him. But eventually you'll make it to the cafeteria, and you'll see a bunch of people in the kitchen cooking. It smells wonderful. A lot of soy paste products shaped into other actual food products. You can ask around. I assume you're going to show the picture around.
Yes.
Some people will say that it looks like the two men, they've come in for meals. And a couple times they have stayed the night. And it looked like they were going to become members. But then they just hadn't seen them.
And when was the last time either of them were seen?
The last time... the one that was found on March 24th. The last time they saw him was, they're going to tell you it was probably at the Sunday service on the 13th.
Okay.
And the one that you just found, the last time they saw him was on the Sunday service on the 27th.
What day was March 6th?
March 6th is a Sunday. The 27th is a Sunday.
And April. No. That's interesting. He's going to show a picture of the first body, the dwarf. Perhaps he was also seen around?
They all look at him and they're like, no, we definitely would have remembered a dwarf coming in. We rarely get them. No, we would have remembered him. I haven't seen him.
And what about this gentleman? And he will show Tink's picture.
They'll study the picture, and they'll say, no, he doesn't look familiar either.
Interesting. Very interesting. So Chand is taking notes. He'll ask a couple of other questions. You know, what were they like during the service? You know, how did they seem? General attitude, how are they feeling type of thing?
They'll come back. The people will say hopeful. They were ready to get off the streets and turn their lives around. They saw the light. We were happy to welcome them. It's unfortunate that they are all now cottoning on to the fact that something's happened to these people. And they're like, it's unfortunate that something's happened to them. We'll pray for them. If only they'd come here sooner.
Indeed. If only they'd come sooner. It's very interesting. Thank you for your cooperation. I do appreciate it. Would you mind if I have further questions, if I was able to come back? What are the hours here? Do you stay here at the church?
We have some members that will stay here for those that are, you know, in the barracks room just to keep an eye, but we lock the doors. You have to be in before midnight. We lock the doors and then we reopen them again at 6 a.m.
And he'll write that down, between midnight and 6 a.m. So what happens with the people who don't see the light? I suppose they reject this paradise of the renewal of the one flesh.
Mr. Dupree will step up and say, we don't turn anyone away. We'll give them a meal and we'll give them a place to stay for a night, and then we'll point them to other resources that are better suited to them if they don't think they can adhere to our tenets.
Could you remind me of all of your tenets and I'd very much like to make sure I have these written down correctly. And Miss Covington, if you could possibly let me know what resources you point these people to, that would be wonderful.
Sure. We'll have all of that sent to you. Just give me your information.
Oh, Chance is happy to give that information.
You should have it within the hour.
Thank you very much, Reverend Dupree, about those tenants.
I'll send that along with the list of resources.
Oh, come on.
Mr. Dupree needs to finish. He's getting ready for his sermon.
Would not the recitation of the tenets be part of that?
Mr. Dupree will laugh. It's okay. It's okay, Kella. Our tenets are simple. To be closer to God, you can't separate yourself by becoming part machine. Machines are dead and cold, and God is warm and loving. So we say that you have to remove any machinery within your body. If it has been surgically placed there, it should be surgically removed so you can once again find your closeness to God. That's it. I mean, other than the normal commandments in the Bible, that's it.
Mm, yeah, no, that's definitely don't want to wear synthetic fabrics. I do understand that.
You mock, but you just haven't found it yet. That's all right. Everybody's on their own journey. But as Ms. Covington stated, I do have other things I have to get to today. She'll be happy to assist you in any further matters. And he'll wave and he'll start walking back to the sanctuary.
Thank you very much. If I could just have one more moment of your time. I just have one last question and then I'll be on my way. I promise you.
He'll look at his watch and he'll say, one more question, and then please, detective, I have got to go.
Absolutely. You say something is surgically implanted. It has to be surgically removed. I understand that. What if it's something like a heart? If somebody wants to be that much closer to God, but they have a cybernetic heart keeping them alive, how does that translate with your tenets? What do you do?
We would encourage them to make the decision. And if they wanted to be closer to God, truly for mere seconds before they pass, I mean, they can have the heart removed. We can keep them alive with limited assistance by machinery, but they have enough to at least repent and acknowledge God's love. I hope that suffices, and he turns to leave.
That does. Thank you, Reverend, for your time.
Is there anybody else there, or is it just these two people?
Covington, his attorney, is still there. Dupree is left, and you have the cafeteria staff that are cooking.
I see. Well, while they were talking, I would like to have gone over some of the staff and just introduced myself.
Okay. They're asking if you would like a plate. Would you like some food?
Oh, absolutely. I sure appreciate it.
Okay. They will fix you extra big plates and bowls because you're so extra big.
He'll like look down at it, acknowledge it, and like give a little wink. Like, yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. So, you know, partner's over there talking to you guys. Just wonder, is anything weird been happening around here? We've had some of your parishioners have been like targeted, it seems like. It's getting pretty, you know, got to call from my bosses to check it out.
Anything weird? Your first question. No. It may seem weird to somebody who doesn't have the same belief, but nothing weird here is happening. No.
Oh, I'm not trying to have any haterade on you guys.
Fine. We're used to it. Believe me, a lot of people, when they first hear the beliefs, they turn away, and it's okay. As Mr. Dupree says, they come to it in their own time. They have to find their way. That's okay. As far as targeting, well, if there is somebody targeting, I'm sure Mr. Dupree will tell all of us to take precautions to be safe, to, you know, not be alone, or definitely not be alone at night on the streets.
I guess. Sorry if I came on a little strong. It's kind of part of the job, you know?
No, you're just doing your job, sir. I understand.
Anyway, the other day I was chasing this guy, and I'm like, I think I pulled my neck. I'm not quite the young troll I was. You know, kind of. How old was this person you say I'm talking to?
Probably like 30s.
30s? Hey, you'll find out, you know. Not quite as spry as I used to be, you know. You don't know anybody, God, just hurts like a. I want to get looked at before I get back to my office. Who would you go to? Anything local docs you know about? Something like muscles? I don't know.
Doesn't Night Air provide your medical treatment?
Well, they pay for it, yeah, but they don't really care who I go to.
Oh, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of doctors here downtown.
I got you. We'll see if you had any personal recommendations.
No.
I will. Fair enough. Anyway, here's my card. If you've seen anything or ever need a little help from somebody and an appreciative customer, he'll hold this food tray up. Let us know. I appreciate it.
Then she'll look at the card. She goes, "And hey, if I ever hear of a doctor, I'll let you know."
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Well, Miss Covington says, "I think that's everything. And I mean, if I'm going to get that information to you, I need to start sooner rather than later, right?"
Yes, you are absolutely right. Thank you very much, Miss Covington, for your assistance with our investigation.
And she'll kind of usher you out to leave.
We'll go. There's no sense of being belligerent yet.
So you're going to meet up with Chris O'Neill, who I think is walking around trying to find you.
No, I went straight to the cruiser where I saw.
Oh, that's right. Officer all right, Steele, so you're walking out, and all right, so yeah, you approach Officer Steele. She seems to be like, I don't know. She's not sleeping. She looks like she's working though.
Yeah, just she's knock on in. The glass. Like,
I don't acknowledge him like outwardly, but I do mm-hmm. message him. Mm-hmm. Can I help you?
Rather than respond to the message, he's going to not loudly, but raise his voice so that he is heard through the glass of the cruiser. Your partners were supposed to wait for me to go inside after I did my interview. I don't see them. Did they need coffee or something?
I make a group message and I tell the detectives that Chris is offering to get coffee and would they like anything?
Wow. A trip to the Covfefe Bean. He can pay.
Chance is going to shoot back an address for the Covfefe Bean and his usual order. And all it says is, yeah, he can go here. Just tell them at the counter that Detective Malone would like his usual.
All right. And if I hear nothing back from Lennox, then I relay the order from Detective Malone and, you know, of course, myself with all the instructions of where to get the coffee and message him and just thank him.
Oh, and yeah, sorry, Coffee Black. Mm-hmm. Kind of thinking about how creepy those people were. You get a creepy vibe? I got a creepy vibe.
I believe those folks are just genuinely happy to be accepted and perhaps even loved in this soulless society. This capitalist dystopia that the college kids call it. But yeah, it was creepy as shit.
Okay, good. Just checking. For a minute there, you know, the first half you kind of had me, I was seeing the upper part of my eyelids, and then like, okay.
Getting the message for the coffee, he's going to look at it for a second and be like, no, is that where they went? I'm not going, is that where, can you roll down the window?
I assume the detectives will be walking in up on this.
Oh, yeah, we hear this. Oh, we absolutely hear this. Mr. O'Neill, I thought you were going to the Covfefe Bean. And here you are.
No, I thought you were waiting for me to finish my interview with the...
Well, you were so deep into it that we didn't want to interrupt art being made, so we just walked around and made a few small inquiries of our own. And well, now that that's done, we can discuss what we found over... Right, I said I was going to buy you coffee. I suppose I'll treat everybody to some Covfefe Bean.
We're not going inside now?
Oh, we already went inside.
But I didn't go
inside. I unlocked the doors on the van. Click.
Well, don't you worry about it. We're going to put our heads together. We're going to discuss what you found. We'll discuss what we found. We'll enjoy this over a cup of coffee. We're going to discuss our next moves. We also have some information coming from Miss Covington, the legal counsel for the church.
At that, Detective Malone, your comm starts to go off. And as you look down to see who it is reaching out to you, you see the word daddy. And we'll close here.
No!
Yeah. Who is daddy calling?
Who is your daddy and what does he do?
Who is your daddy? What does he do?
Do we know what kind of politician the good senator is?
A bad one.
I don't know. Do you follow politics?
Well, he won, so he is not that.
I mean, I mean, there's a politician here in this state that's won. I couldn't tell you anything about him. So, do you follow politics?
I think I'm about to. When I,
I don't think that Lennox would follow politics, but I think he would want to know about like the senator father of his partner.
I think you've heard in the precinct that Detective Malone has a powerful dad who is a senator. I don't know if they've ever said anything or if there is anything to say the scandalous about him. That would be up to Detective Malone. I don't know much about his dad either.
I'm sure there's all sorts of salacious rumors that Lots go on about rumors. Senator Malone.
Does he cheat on mom? Is he a philanderer?
He is a philanthropist.
Ah, here we go.
Isn't that just somebody that philanders?
No, it is very different.
that's the joke.
Very close in words, too, but very, very different. Yeah, we'll have to think about that, Lennox, on how much you would know. Something you guys can discuss in between the games. And then when we come back, Officer Steele will have the results of all those camera checks. And we'll get those. And then we'll get Ms. Covington's information package. As well on the next episode of Seattle Nights.
Da, da, da. QAC music.
As well as Mr. O'Neill's contact with those results.
I need to write out the rest of my contacts. I've also decided that at least one of them is going to be a lawyer.
Okay, fine.
Because I need the dirt on this lady.
Why do you think there's dirt?
Because they're a lawyer.
Wow. How are we feeling on things so far, though?
You know what? Let's go ahead and get rid of Craig, and we'll talk about that. Sorry, Patreon folks.
Wow.
Things are good.
In the principal's office.
Okay. Things good. I enjoy.
Having fun.
Get a talking to.
All right. Bye, Craig.